The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
And now, it's time for Radio Jobline with your host, Scott Possessor, right here on 103.9 LI News Radio.
Everybody, it must be Saturday afternoon from 2 to 3 p.m. We're here for you every week. We've been here for you every week for 6 years. And all we talk about is your career, your job, how you're going to be successful, how you're going to deal with the pandemic, how are you going to deal with the politics, how you're going to deal with the pounding of a hurricane that was upon us this past week. Before I start the show, I do want to share a little story with everybody. Maybe I'll give you a laugh. I know I gave myself one. So we recorded the show tonight, this week, on Wednesday night. And I have a generator. So we lost power. And my heart goes out to all Long Islanders. If, God forbid, you still don't have power 4 or 5 days later, that would be terrible. But I didn't have it on Wednesday. So I have a generator, set up my generator. And got gas. Everything went fine. It was dormant in its for 8 years, and I was shocked that it worked, but it did. So we had our refrigerator going and so on. And so in the afternoon, I find out that the generator stopped. It's run out of gas. So I leave work early, and I go home, and I put a little gas from the gas tank into the generator, and fire it up again. Everything's fine. And then I go, you know what? Before I go to the studio, I'm gonna go get some gas. And then I'll bring it back here, and then I'll go head over to the studio. So I go to the Speedy down the block from me, and guess what? There's no gas. 16 pumps, but not a sniff of gas. So then I go to the next gas station about a mile away. Not a single sniff of gasoline. Then I go to a third station. Nothing. Zero. No gasoline in Hot Pock. Then I go to a fourth station. And as I'm getting out of my car, the woman says to me, "You're not going to want to get gas here." I say, "Why not?" She says, "Because I've been here for 15 minutes and I'm only getting a drop at a time." And I said, "I'll take any gas I can find." So I go pay my money. I go back out. I then do my best. I get $3.50 worth of gas to put into my gas tank. And I come home and I do it. I'm standing out there in the heat. I'm bent over. Trying to get this gas into this container. It takes me about almost 15 minutes to get $3.50 worth of gas into the tank. I finally got here, got to the studio. So my heart goes out to everyone that lost their power with this storm that I cannot pronounce. Can you pronounce it, Kenny?
I don't think I could either.
Mike, can you pronounce it? Okay, none of us can pronounce it. It's Saias or something like that. How do you give a storm a name like that that no one could pronounce? But anyway, it was shades of Hurricane Sandy, and it was really frightening to see all those trees down and everything go to pot when the storm really wasn't that bad, and it only lasted 2 hours. Anyway, I'm going to try to calm down and get to the show. But again, my heart goes out to you if you still don't have power. One of these days, we're going to straighten out the power grid here on Long Island. But that's another show for another time. Today, we're going to talk about a company that has demonstrated some fantastic leadership in this pandemic. They're a great architectural and engineering company, very well known here on Long Island. And we have a fantastic guest from the company joining us. And let me tell you a little bit about H2M Architects and Engineers. That's the name of the company. H2M Architects and Engineers, founded in 1933 on the principles of integrity and design excellence, is a multidisciplinary professional consulting and design firm offering over 480 architects, engineers, wastewater, civil, site, structural, MEP, and environmental planners, designers, inspectors, surveyors, and scientists. H2M has 8 office locations throughout New York and New Jersey, with its headquarters located at 538 Broad Hollow Road in Melville, New York.
Liz Uzo is the Chief Human Resource Officer and Senior Vice President at H2M. She leads and directs the H2M Human Resources team to achieve excellence by planning, implementing, and evaluating employee development / human resource policies, programs, and practices. Highly active within the architecture and engineering industry, she has worked closely with peer groups to bring to H2M first-in-class HR organizational clarity on operational structure, employee development, recruiting and retaining talent, risk mitigation, regulatory compliance, workforce and succession planning, and strategic planning. She has spoken at national industry conferences on topics such as employee engagement and best practices in human resources. Liz received her bachelor's degree from the New York Institute of Technology in Hospitality Management and a master's degree in Human Resources Management and Labor Relations. She holds her senior level certifications from the Society of Human Resource Management and the Human Resources Certification Institute.
All right, fantastic job. That was Ken Connolly, my super intern. Kenny, thank you.
Thank you.
And Liz, welcome to Radio Jobline.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
Great to have you. And I've heard a lot about the company over the years. I'm really glad to meet you. I want to give a shout out to Dan Ritchie that put this show together for us and introduced us. And your name is pronounced Liz Uzo. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes. All right,
but it's spelled U-Z-Z-O.
That's right. It's really, I guess phonetically it would be Uzo, but we always pronounced it Uzo. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So welcome, welcome, welcome. And we're very interested in today's program because, first of all, it's a great firm. It's the salt of Long Island, 480 architects and engineers. It's a good-sized firm. And you've got some job openings that you're going to share with us today, Liz, which we're excited about. We did the same thing last week and featuring jobs as much as we can since the pandemic hit and the job market has taken such a wallop. But let's get us started. Tell us a little bit about the company and the culture.
So H2M has been around for over 85 years. We've done so much on Long Island and outside of Long Island as well. But Long Island has been our main focus and kind of our home for many, many years. The work we do is we build communities. So we look to develop projects that have a widespread effect. So whether it's from a school or a village hall or a water treatment facility and making sure that the drinking water is safe and clean. We also do master plans for villages and towns. So just about anything, I drive down the road and I think, oh, that's an H2M project. Could be a roadway drainage system. Like I said, schools, office buildings, designed. We have a lot of architects. We grew that piece of our business for over many years into a significant piece of who we are as a company. We were very focused on engineering for many years and now have a good amount of architectural design projects as well.
Fantastic stuff. And you're also going to talk to us today, Liz, about how you've kind of guided the company through the pandemic, because we can't have a radio show and not talk about it like it doesn't exist. It's here. It's upon us. Yes, the infection rates here in New York are pretty good compared to the rest of the country, but that's no reason to let our guard down. Tell us a little bit, kind of bring us through the chronology of what you decided to do when all this stuff hit, Liz, and how you've dealt with it.
Right. So it was something that I would never have expected in a million years. I've been with H2M now for 33 years and been through recessions and rebuilding, all of those things. I've seen the traditional job turn into a much different type of job, how you recruit for them, all of the things that go into really building a business and being strategic. And this was like a light switch. We, no real warning, listening to the governor, making sure we were, getting the proper guidance. But we learned very quickly, mid-March, that we needed to react. And we don't like to react. We like to be proactive. That's the way we operate our business. But in this case, there was no way to really be proactive. So middle March, we made a decision to put everybody out remote. Even though we are considered an essential business under the rules, under the governor's executive order. But, for safety concerns and making sure that our staff, were able to work remotely, which was challenging because we have, a good portion of people that had a lot of flexibility to do work from home, do work from other offices, but there were people that did not have that. So we were quick to respond and be able to get the technology that we needed to make that shift and put everybody out on remote work. We did have the I'm sorry.
No, let me just throw a question at you. The one of the things that we did at our company is we really shifted our focus onto accountability, because everybody was working from home. So we needed, certain meetings, but we didn't want them to be too much, and then they're cutting it to the workday. So somebody had to be making all these decisions and calling all the shots. Was it you, Liz?
Well, from a strategic, from planning and how we were going to handle what the governor was saying and what we needed to do as an organization to be responsive to the pandemic, it was myself with the CEO, Rich Heumann.
Mm-hmm.
So we worked together every day. We would meet every morning and talk about what was going on and, what we needed to do to make sure that we were operating our business successfully and making sure that our employees were safe.
Okay. So you started with the Zoom or the WebEx meetings in your case and started to function, despite the pandemic. How did it all go? I mean, how did companies of your size do in those few months?
Yeah. So it's interesting. I think we worked it out. A lot of the work that we did is collaborative in nature. So we work across disciplines and across offices and across projects. So I think coordinating some of that was difficult because we used to be able to just get up from our seat and walk over to the next room and say, hey, how's that going? Can we have a little quick talk about something? Or you weren't getting all the intel that you needed as quickly to really incorporate the right things into plans and specs. So I think for us, the big issue was the collaborative piece was missing. So I think that took us a little time. We definitely struggled. I can't say we were, aces, in the hole there, and everything was fine. But we worked through it. We set up goals for groups. We met regularly to discuss financials, as well as projects and keeping projects on track because our clients still needed our services.
Unbelievable. So, all right. So then there's something that you put on your list that I really like that I wanted to mention to you. You were keeping employees engaged with a weekly trivia meeting with the CEO. I thought that was really a great idea. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So we did a ton of different types of communications that we hadn't actually done before. And one of the things we felt like with the staff not being on the premises, we were losing some I think the CEO felt like he was being disconnected from people because he would walk around. Hey, how you doing? Very personable guy, easy mm-hmm. to talk to. And he wasn't on the regular meetings with the managers and other, he couldn't be. There's no way anyone could be.
Mm-hmm.
So he came up with the idea to do a trivia contest every Wednesday just before lunch. And that way, the individuals working from home, he would come up with a theme. His executive assistant, Joyce, who's awesome, she was able to come up with the questions and engaged everybody in the company. So anyone could participate. He continued that for even when people, because we have people back now at the office, but he still continued because it's fun and he's got a great sense of humor. So I think people really liked it. We gave out cash prizes every week and Amazon gift cards and other things for people who got correct answers. And it, like I said, it was just a lot of fun. It was kind of a relief for people.
Great. And was it H2M trivia or was it trivia?
It was both. So we would have a regular, we talk about, animals, and then we'd throw, an H2M boomerang in there question. So it was a variety of things.
Wonderful stuff. I wish we had done that, Liz. Where were you a few months ago? You could have shared that with me. Anyway, next time we'll work a little closer. So where are we now? I mean, here we are. It's August. We're at the beginning, the beginning of August. We're getting towards the end of the summer pretty soon. A lot of talk about schools reopening and such. But where are we? Where is the company now? How have you bounced back from the pandemic? Is the staff now back working in the office? And, just give us a picture of where we were and where we are.
Right. So we went from, I would say, 95% of the staff out of the office working remotely and back, I guess it was mid-June, we started bringing people back into the office slowly, and I think that was key. That was really the key to our success of getting people reacclimated after being gone for three months. We have about 75% of the staff back in the office, and we still have some people working remotely due to childcare issues or other working spouses or underlying health conditions that we wouldn't want somebody to be subject to. So we've been extremely flexible, but we still brought a good portion of our workplace back here. Planning for the future, we know the schools are not going to be open the same way that they were open a year ago. So we're getting reports from people on kind of what that's going to look like. And we are right now in the midst of developing a flexibility plan to address the needs of the employees, to make sure that we can get people fully productive, yet accommodate, you know, the issues of homeschooling.
It's such a huge issue, Liz. I don't mean to make a sidebar, but this whole schooling thing is really troublesome, because if people do not send their kids back to school and schools don't take them back to school, then how do you do the childcare thing? How do people go to work? How does the workforce remain in place, you know, without it? And yet there's a very, very strong side of me that says we're not ready. You know, that if you send your kids back to school, either they're going to get it or they're going to pass it on or they're going to transfer it, or teachers are going to get sick. Somebody's going to get sick, and then they're going to have to shut the school down. And then what? You know, so I keep, you know what it is with me, Liz? I keep looking for the positive motion where we're starting to put some distance between us and the worst of this thing. And sometimes I have trouble finding it. I'll be honest.
Yeah, I can completely understand that. And I can certainly sympathize with not knowing, as a parent, not knowing what to do. I don't know what I would do. You know, and I think for the schools, and my sister's a school teacher, she didn't have a good time trying to work through all the remote issues, making sure the kids had the technology and were logging in, because some of the parents didn't have flexibility. Mm. They were essential workers. They were nurses and doctors and people that couldn't stay in the home to do those things. So I think the kids suffered greatly.
Yeah, it looks as though that in many cases they're going to suffer again, because it looks very quasi to me, does it not to you, Liz, that there's no sure thing about what's going to happen, even if schools are fully reopened and everybody goes back to school, if it's going to stay that way. I mean, we have a baseball season that they fought and fought and fought to give us, and now you have 22 Florida Marlins getting the coronavirus in the same week. You know, and we don't know what's going to happen with baseball. We don't know what's going to happen with basketball or football. And a much bigger looming issue is the schools. So I don't know. I'm worried about it. You have kids, right? So, but you're sending your kids back?
Well, I only have a 22-year-old. So ah. I'm not in that. He just graduated from college. What a great time to graduate from college, right?
Yeah, so did Kenny, our intern here. He just graduated, and he couldn't be more unhappy about the state of the job market. But we're doing the best we can to give him a leg up on everybody. Tell us a little bit. We talk a lot on this program, Liz, about internships. I believe it's the next step. It's the next wave. It's the most important thing for a high school student to do besides get good grades. And I see you have an internship program here. Tell me about it.
Right. So we have had an internship program for 20-plus years. But I would say probably about 6 or 7 years ago, one of my staff that came on board revamped the program, Amanda. She did an amazing job to really get the interns to have a really engaging summer. So we've typically run a 10-week program for anyone in this or looking interested in this industry, and we do give them all sorts of opportunities, from learning how to interview to resume writing. We have an intern mixer. We actually, we've had up to 60 interns for the summer, actually last year. And I think one of the really disappointing things for us was thinking that we wouldn't be able to have an internship program this year due to the pandemic. Mm. Our CEO was hired as an intern at H2M 33 years ago, so he is very passionate about the support that he gives to having a robust internship program. So I think, from my perspective, all along he was like, we got to figure out a way to keep this going, even if we make it smaller or shorter. So what we did, we knew people were coming back. We kind of held off on some of the offers for the internship programs, but we ended up making 27 offers. All of the interns accepted. And we are running a smaller version of what we ran in prior years, a little bit shorter. So it's a 7-week program, 8-week program. And we have the same, we're doing some of the same things. We usually have an intern mixer, and we're making it an online Zoom type mixer. We did something outside with them with some, you know, variety of games and things that they could, you know, get to know each other better. And we had a really great onboarding.
Sounds great. We have a news break coming up, Liz. You're listening to Radio Jobline with Scott Possessor and Ken Connolly. We're talking today to Liz Uzo from a fabulous company called H2M Architectural and Engineering. We're going to be coming back in the news break after the news break. If you have an idea for Radio Jobline, would like to be on the show, you can write to me. It's scottp118@gmail.com. I'll be happy to discuss your situation with Kenneth, and we will decide if we can have you on the program. You got a news break coming up. We'll be right back with more. Stay with us.
And now, welcome back to Radio Jobline with your host, Scott Possessor, right here on LI News Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to Liz Uzo from H2M Architects and Engineers. Liz, thank you for being here. Do you recognize the song?
I totally do.
And Dan Ritchie let the cat out of the bag and told me you were a fellow Dead admirer as myself.
There you go.
Have you seen any Dead and Company?
I have. I've seen them a bunch. I saw them in Mexico, and I saw them in Colorado, and here at Citi Field. They're great. John Mayer channels Jerry for sure.
Fabulous. He's so good. And my brother took me to a Grateful Dead concert about 10 years ago, and it was Warren Haynes playing the guitar.
Oh.
And I couldn't wait to get out of there. He doesn't sound anything like Garcia. And you have to channel Garcia if you're going to play for the Grateful Dead. And I don't know how Mayer does it, but he in some ways outdoes Jerry. So
yeah, he does. Technically, he does. Absolutely.
So it's really exciting. And I turn the music on constantly. I'm going to YouTube and listening to Althea and Deal. And he's got about 5 or 6 songs that he really loves. And it's nice to talk to a fellow Deadhead.
Absolutely. I love him. Can't wait for the music to open up again.
Me too. Concerts have gone. We had tickets for Saratoga this year that got canceled. I was ready to make the trip and everything, but okay, we don't want to spend too much time on that. But anyway, welcome back. That was a great job in the first segment. We're going to start with a commercial. Kenny, read us our commercial this week.
Shout out to BizShout. Socially Promote Yourself or Your Business is a new promotional platform to express yourself. Let your passions do the talking to connect, inspire, and earn. For their first service to help your resume inspire new hires, you can build a free creative resume, which can potentially get you placed 4 times faster by combining resume information, rich content, and more in a handsomely designed portfolio. Join them for free at bizshout.com and discover their interview secrets to make you outshine your competition.
And Kenny, tell us what you're working on. You're working on a reel right now, right?
Yes. So our wonderful, wonderful producer, Mike, is helping me out with that. And it's to build my reel for radio. And I'm going to, once that's all in place, throw it up on BizShout and get it noticed by employers.
Right. And it's a link you can send to anybody, which is one of the great things about BizShout. Check it out, Liz. You might enjoy it. It's an interesting website.
Yeah, that sounds great.
All right. So you've got jobs to talk to us about, and I want to kind of leave that a cliffhanger a little bit longer about those jobs. Call the kids, because she's got some great jobs in architectural and engineering. But tell us a little bit more before we get there about the culture of the company, Liz. This is something I'm sure you're extremely involved with. You know, do you hire from within? What sort of benefits are there working for the company? What we want is all about the culture.
Right. So we are very, very focused on the employee experience, employee engagement, family-oriented as well. So we provide a lot of different opportunities for people to have, like, again, I talk about flexibility a lot because that's really important. We give what I would consider Class A benefits. and show all the insurances, you know, the typical health insurances, dental, vision. We have a really robust 401k program. We match up to 6%, which is, you know, and we've been doing that for years. And I think, you know, from our perspective, you know, saving for retirement is really key. So we are committed to that. We have no vesting schedule, so we feel very strongly about that. We're invested in professional development, ensuring that employees maintain and get their licenses, that they have the opportunity to go back to school. So we have tuition reimbursement. So I'm very, very much focused on the employee experience. We've done engagement surveys to ensure that we're meeting the needs of the staff, because without our people, we don't have anything.
All right. So a very deep culture, one very supportive of employee engagement, employee involvement, and employee success.
Absolutely. So one of the things that we always focus on is anytime we have an opening or an opportunity, we always look internally to try and fill those roles, promote from within whenever possible, doing training. You know, Dan has been an amazing addition to our staff. Mm-hmm. He's been here just over a year and was brought in to develop an overall professional and technical training for all of our staff to really get everybody focused on their career path and career development.
That's fantastic stuff. Great culture. So it sounds like a wonderful culture. It sounds like you have a fantastic CEO, and you have a very imaginative Liz Uzo at the top of the chain there, also directing traffic. Sounds like you're doing a fabulous job too, Liz.
I have an amazing team. Yeah. I work with 7 HR professionals that are truly amazing people. So I couldn't do it without them.
Fantastic. All right, let's talk about some jobs. So, you know, jobs have become so scarce that the talent is really just all over the place, looking, and hoping to find an organization like yours. What I find so interesting, Liz, is I do staffing. So when I have a mechanical engineer that has certain skills, I can place them anywhere in the country. Same with an electrical engineer. Very, very valuable, and environmental and civil engineers as well. But if you're just about any other occupation besides IT or, you know, any of the common ones like sales or administration, all of a sudden the job market gets very ugly and very difficult. So the demand for people like what you're looking for, I think, is very high. But let's talk about the jobs you have open now and tell us what people need to know about each job.
Right. So a couple of really specialized jobs that we always are looking for talented individuals are in our water and wastewater engineering, individuals that can manage projects and clients, develop design plans, work and manage people. So it could be anything from designing a water supply system and distribution system to a wastewater treatment plant, and all the things that go along with that. So construction observation, so individuals that are experienced in that. We're always looking for people like that.
So that's the senior water engineer / client manager.
That's right. And it's water or wastewater. And they overlap. Either, you know, they serve similar clients, and some of the technology is very much the same. And then we have also, we're always looking for project electrical. Like you said, electrical engineers are hot. Mm-hmm. So any kind of licensed professional engineer that's done any design system associated with power distribution, lighting, any what we call SCADA, so they've designed the treatment system, the electrical system that goes along with a water or wastewater treatment system. Again, can't say enough, you know, any kind of project coordination or project management skills are key to the success for someone in that role.
Okay, and then you also have a senior planner.
That's right. So we have individuals that do master plans. This particular position is actually in our New Jersey office, which is right now out of power. Both of our New Jersey offices have no power.
Wow.
Working with towns and villages to develop master plans, and there's been a significant investment in those entities to really get them to focus on these downtown areas and really revitalizing the downtown look and feel to have a more of a community feeling. So they've done that a bunch on Long Island as well.
Fantastic. And there's a list here like Women's Leadership Initiative and Project Management Course. What's that associated with?
So we kicked off early this year our Women's Leadership Initiative program to really try and focus on developing the upcoming women leaders in our organization. So unfortunately, when we had the pandemic hit, we had a couple of sessions in, and the pandemic hit, and it kind of went on pause, but we're back, and we are moving forward. We just had a great session with the team on developing a mission and vision for that group. So very, very excited about that, and we're looking for a lot to come. And this is, we do a lot of things as a grassroots program. So we have committees or employee resource groups that are developed from kind of a bottom up approach where people that are interested in something develop a group or a team of people, whether it be sustainability or we have a young professionals committee that do all sorts of events and different types of trainings that they put on for the YP group, networking. So getting those young professionals to get some development under their belt. So we have a group that focuses on that. We have a significant, like I said, with Dan Ritchie on board, the Women's Leadership Initiative. He ran that, which is, you know, they said, how can a guy run a women's leadership? Because he had the ability to facilitate, and I think that's really, really important. So having that facilitation skill in-house has been amazing. And then the project management is key. Everything we do is a project. We don't do anything that doesn't have a project surrounding it. So really getting strong project management skills for all of our staff that manage projects was really important.
We had a show recently on STEM, the STEM careers, and I see you also offer STEM scholarships. Is that right?
Yeah, we just it was maybe a week ago, we just issued, and of course we did it via WebEx, 10 $1,000 STEM scholarships to individuals that are interested in pursuing a career in architecture, engineering, environmental, planning, any of the things that we do as an organization. We send out the applications to over 200 school districts from Long Island, New Jersey, up to through the lower Hudson, up to Albany. And then we have a committee of staff-level employees that do the selection of the individuals or the recipients. We had over 300 applications this year, and we gave out 10 scholarships, very well received. And it can be used for anything for college. We don't say, you know, it has to go to the college.
So just quickly, I see the word construction, which looks very interesting. What is that?
So that's a great thing. We've been doing that for about 12 years. So every year we have a team we put together, and they design a project. If you Google construction, you'll see all sorts of designs. And basically, we design with a theme a structure that is made out of canned food. And we've done, you know, we did Finding Nemo one year. We did the Yellow Submarine. And the group gets together, decides what the design is, does fundraising. And then it's over at RXR. There's a showing in October, late October, and then there's an event of the best use of cans, who made the best meal, who had the most interesting structure, and then there are awards given out that evening, and then they are left on display for 10 days, and then all of the cans are donated to Long Island Harvest.
I was going to say, knowing what you've said about the company culture, I was going to say all of those cans went to disadvantaged people. So just made me feel smart there. Could you invite me to that construction event? I'd like to see that with my own eyes.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's amazing.
Yeah, it sounds great. All right, so let's talk a little bit about connections. Now, people have heard you talk about the jobs. You had the electrical engineers, the waste and wastewater municipal project engineers, and the senior planner. How do people apply for the jobs, Liz? Do they go to the website? Do they send their resume to, you know, tell us how to do it.
Right. So we have done a tremendous job of setting up our recruiting and careers page. So if you visit us at www.h2m.com, if you do /careers, you'll go right to our careers page. But if you want to go to our homepage, it's easy to navigate there. It'll explain all of the kind of the life at H2M. There's some interesting videos, and all of the job openings are posted there. So you can apply right there. We have a very simple application. We try and make it really easy for people. And then those applications get reviewed every day by one of my staff to make sure that every single opening is applicant is reviewed with the appropriate people. So we do, I think, probably up there right now, we probably have 30 jobs. Right.
Awesome.
Now posted.
That's fantastic. Do we know how to have on the who to have on the show, Kenny?
Oh, for right? Sure.
30 jobs. That's fantastic. We want to direct people to that website as much as we can. Give us the website one more time, Liz.
It's www.h2m.com.
That's the number two, right?
The number two, the letter H, the number two, the letter M.
.com. Okay, great. .com. All right, great. Now, listen, I saved a few minutes for the end of the show, because I always like to speak to folks like you about how candidates should prepare and how very often they are woefully underprepared. You may have a great story you can share with us, Liz, but tell us what people should be doing. It's an engineering firm. Do you show up in a suit? Is it any different than any other corporate type job? Do you have certain things you look for when candidates send their resumes? Give us some tips.
Right. So we, right now in the pandemic, we're doing very few face-to-face interviews. So we're doing WebEx interviews for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things that is key for anyone, and this especially in the pandemic, is to prepare the same way you're going to prepare for an in-person interview as a WebEx, as being on a WebEx. So I always say dress better than anyone else in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you're sure it's, you know, you're never going to feel uncomfortable. So I don't know that a suit is always necessary, but I think a suit always looks good. I think that, like I said, being neat and presentable is key. Being prepared, having a list of thoughts about the company or things that you've researched about the company that you can talk about. So when you know, you should have a list of questions that you want to ask during the interview to show that you're prepared and you learned a little about and you're interested in the company.
Yeah, I think that's so critical. You know, we've been talking about it. I started on Jobline on television 24 years before the radio show. So altogether, I'm doing this for 30 years. And if there's one thing that has come up, no matter what decade it is, it's be prepared for a job interview, for goodness sake. You can't walk into a job interview and say, oh, yeah, H2M, it's an architectural firm, right? I mean, that's the answer. That's the answer some people give. And I want to choke them when I hear an answer like that. And I prep my candidates for interviews, too. We all do. But how can people be more prepared, Liz?
So I would always, like I said, make sure that you have, once you know where you're going. So if you are physically going to a location, that you know where it is and you leave adequate time to make sure that you're there on time in person. If you're using the technology, so you're using a WebEx or a Zoom, I would test out my sound and my voice and, you know, do it with someone else. So set up something with someone else and just test it. Make sure that it works properly. Get on early, because we all know technology, you know, when you're at the last minute, things happen.
Mm.
So being prepared in advance, so getting there even 10 or 15 minutes early, following the instructions and reading the email. So our team will send out instructions, what to expect, you know, what to plan for, you know, where to go. Make sure you read the entire email, because I think a lot of people get emails and they don't read the entire thing. So they miss key elements like who they're going to be meeting with.
Right.
And do some research.
Yeah.
Just Google the company.
And Google the name of the person you're going to meet.
Yeah.
Google. Keep going. You know, I mean, that's what I tell. You know, I read an article once, Liz, that said the average American job hunter spends 25 minutes or less preparing for a job interview.
Right. Yes.
And that's disturbing. That's just so disturbing to me. I mean, you should be spending hours preparing for a job interview. You know, it's just crazy to me that some people just take it so lightly. Just give us one last tip. What do you look for? What are your hot buttons? What can somebody say or do that's going to turn you off or turn you on?
So I think if you're looking at it, then there are differences for different levels, but entry level, absolutely any job is a good job.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what it is. So if, you know, you're graduating during the pandemic and you're working at a supermarket or whatever it is, any job is a good job. So showing that you have continuous employment,
mm-hmm.
I think is really important. I think one of the major fails is I know people are nervous and I understand that. But if you get to meet with an HR professional, you can ask things in advance. Like, is there something I should be bringing with me? Would you like me to send you a portfolio?
Mm.
Those kinds of things so that you feel more at ease with the person that you're going to be meeting.
That is a great tip. Uh-huh. That is a great tip. Unfortunately, we're out of time, Liz. I could have done another hour with you. You're so good, and the company is so interesting. Kenny, what do we got coming up?
Next week, Silas Kelly talking about the emotional impact of the pandemic and the protests. Week after that, Rob Fishman talking about how to recover, rebuild, and reimagine. And lastly, Ian Hameroff, a product marketer, talking about go-to-market strategies.
And Liz, if you could, one more time, the website for H2M?
www.h2m.com.
And you can go /careers and go right to the careers page.
That's right. Yep. Thank
you so much for being with us today. Great job, Liz. We really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Scott, so much. Great having me. I appreciate it.
Really enjoyed it. We'll do it again. All right. You've been listening to Radio Jobline with Scott Possessor and Ken Connolly. We're going to be back for you next week with a great show. We're up against the news break. Have a great week, everybody. Happy hunting.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.